Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter. It's Wednesday night. Hope you guys had a good morning and good afternoon and now evening into the nighttime down here in Louisiana for us. And this is Wednesday night preaching / teaching. It's pretty much what the Holy Spirit puts on my heart to preach and teach. And you know, I look around at this world, and you know, a lot of times my heart just breaks to see everything that's going on. I don't know if you may feel that, see that, and kind of grieve in your heart to see it. And I was thinking of the cross quite a few times today, and this week I've really been thinking of the cross. And the scripture that is coming to mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And that's what we're going to look at and preach on today. But I don't know if you guys seen the movie called Do You Believe? It's a Christian movie. It's done by PureFlix. I encourage you guys to go check PureFlix out. We need some good, clean Christian entertainment. Be careful what you let your children watch these days. There is so much filth on television that you pretty much cannot let your child watch anything without some type of liberal message. So be careful. Guard. Keep in prayer and keep pushing forward to find entertainment that is clean and Christian based for your children, because they are the next generation, right? Sometimes I feel that we may be failing that. But this movie called Do You Believe? It's a wonderful movie. I don't want to give it all away if you haven't seen it yet. But there's a preacher, and he's driving down this street, and can't remember if it was raining, and there's a traffic light there. If you could just visualize a traffic light, and he's in his car, and he stopped, and there's this, I guess you could call it a street preacher or street evangelist, looking very homeless kind of guy. He comes up to the preacher, and the preacher rolls down his window and says, "Do you believe?" And he's carrying a cross. "Do you believe?" And the preacher, the pastor, said, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. He's saying, that's not what I ask. Do you believe? Do you believe in the cross?" And that really kind of, the pastor was beside himself on that. I mean, it kind of affects his life, and it affects others around him, and then it ultimately affects, it has kind of like a chain reaction, and it shows when we put the cross and what it means to us and the importance of it. Things happen. Things change. So when we're looking at 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 18 here. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is power of God. You guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, just thanking you for another opportunity just to study your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving me breath to breathe, to be able to preach this sermon tonight to whoever that may need to hear it, Lord. I don't know how this message goes out. I don't know where it's going to reach. But I know your will be done. And I know your word does not go void. Lord, I pray those that are going through things in their life, they're struggling, they're reaching for that hope, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this message reaches him. They may not know who you are. I pray, Lord, this message just inspires them to dig into the word, at least to dig into the scriptures and find a church and find a good Bible believing church that focuses on the Word of God and the power of the cross and the mercy and grace that was demonstrated on that cross for this world that did not deserve the mercy and grace that was spilled out on that cross, the redemption power that was shed for our sins, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you just guide and direct this sermon tonight, Lord. You laid it on my heart to preach it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with us now as we go into the Word of God. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Of course, you got 1 Corinthians, and Paul wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at here he said, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, when we look at that word perishing, what really comes to mind? I don't know, when I think of perishing, I think of something that is there and is helplessly there and it don't have no, is not getting any help, and it is slowly dying, is slowly deteriorating. You see, the word of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. You see, when we speak to the world today, and we have to understand the world is Satan's world. You'll see that in Matthew 4, when Jesus is being tempted by Satan, and he shows him. He said, here's my kingdoms, and he's showing the world you can have those. See, when the curse entered into this world, the sin entered into this world through, and you can follow that in Genesis about 2-3, you'll see how the serpent, it says in the King James Version, beguiled, or in other words, deceive Eve. And Adam was right there, and he fell for it too. The sin came into this world. And because the sin is into this world, we live under a curse. See, God created a perfect world. We cause this world to be cursed. So this is Satan's world. Of course, it's God's creation. And we know one day he will be coming back, and he will make this world new. As it was as the beginning, the Bible says that he will create a new heaven and a new earth. It is written right in the Bible. That's a beautiful thing, saying is written. You can see how Jesus said that throughout the Bible when he said it is written right, meaning you got to go back and refer back to the scripture, do some research on it. I won't tell you anything that comes out of my mouth. Back it up with the Word of God. Everything I say, I hope you check it. And if I say something that's not correct, correct me. I'm not one of those preachers that think I know everything and that I don't mess up. I'm flawed. Why the Lord chose me to preach and to teach is beyond my capacity to understand. I just trust that he has it, and that even though I feel like I fail most of the time, I know he doesn't fail, especially when I'm referring to scripture. So this is Satan's world, and when we're out in this world, right, and we're trying to tell people about the cross, when we are trying to witness to them about the cross, it's going to be hard for them to understand, because as we were one time, as they are now, let's not forget, you know, you think of Amazing Grace, how sweet that sound is, you know, I once was lost, but now I am found. They are lost, and that's church needs, that they are lost, and they're going to a devil hell. And when we try to tell them about the cross, to them, it's going to be hard to grasp that concept. When we tell them that God sent his son, and you can refer that to John 3:16, and then, of course, you don't skip 17 and 18. And we start telling them that this world needed a savior, and the only savior was Jesus Christ. And of course, in Genesis 3:15 is the first prophetic fulfillment of that promise that he gave Adam and Eve, to tell them one day a correction process will take place. And we're still in that correction process. The end will be when he comes back in those clouds and he restores everything new. And that day is sooner than what we can imagine. When you look at the condition of this world, how bad can it get? You know, I look, and I am a real preacher. I preach on real things. I preach on things I see within the world, and I believe that many preachers have failed their congregations in preaching on real issues. We, of course, have an election coming up, and to me, it's probably one of the most important elections ever, because of the closeness of the times. You see, the Democratic Party, they are what we call extreme left. And when I say extreme left, I'm not going to go into all of it, but you can do your own research. They believe in full-term abortion. And when I say full-term abortion, they believe all the way up to 9 months you can kill or murder a child. It could be 3 days you're about to deliver and you can go into an abortion clinic and you will ask for abortion. They will allow it. That's what they support. I'm telling you, if that don't grieve your heart, there's something truly wrong with your heart. Why the other end? And trust me, the Republicans are not without their mistakes. The vast majority do not support that type of abortion. A lot of them are what we would say pro-life. They're for life. And I'll tell you, I am for life. And you can look at the Democrat platform. They are pro-choice. So when you make the choice, you're choosing life or death when you vote. I want to tell you, God says in his scripture, all life is important. When Jesus was on that cross, bleeding, he died for me. He died for you. He died for this world. Even when they were up there mocking him, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His heart was torn. His heart was broken. And they didn't understand exactly what they were doing. The cross, right? So when we're out there talking about the cross to this world, one thing we need to do is, of course, prayer. Prayer is such a powerful thing, right? It's when some people say, that's the least I can do. I want to tell you, prayer is the most you can do. It's the most powerful thing you can do. It's a direct communication to Jesus Christ, right? You can say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to witness to this person. You can get their name. You can put a prayer list together. And you can pray over that. You can grieve over that name. And I guarantee you the Lord will allow you to do something. He will allow you to be able to witness, or he will put you in a position where your life is a reflection of his light and his glory, or he will send somebody else. God's hand is always in motion. Never think his hand is not in motion. And when you put that name on a prayer list and you pray over it night and day, and I've done this, I still do this, and I pray over people. And I will tell you, when you start praying over people, I'm not talking about a little 5-minute prayer where you're just, you know, your heart's not into it. Because God sees your heart when you're praying. He knows when your heart's not into it. When your heart's into it, you cry, you tear up, you pray with conviction that, Lord, do what you have to do to bring this person to you, Lord. Help me or help somebody else. Tell them about the cross. somehow let their eyes be open. I know this world has a grip. I know Satan has a grip on their lives. You see, this is Satan's world, and he has a grip on the lost. That's why it's foolishness, right? He grips their heart, Satan does, and he blinds their eyes. But I want to tell you, the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's inside you, Satan can't do nothing with that. When you truly open your heart, you truly allow the Holy Spirit to operate, the closer you get to God, the more you pray, the more you ask, Lord, clean my heart. The more you repent, say, Lord, let my life reflect you. Let me walk more in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can see that in Galatians 5. And less in the works of the flesh. Let me be more like you. When I speak, let your words come out of my mouth. Hallelujah, right? We have to be a people of prayer. When you look at Jesus. And I encourage you guys to do that. Look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Start there and do a prayer study. And see exactly every time Jesus prayed, you will see he prayed all the time. Why don't our hearts yearn? Why don't our hearts scream to the top of our lungs to pray, to have that fellowship? Are we that busy? Satan has created us to be so busy so we don't have time to pray? I want to tell you, prayer is important. Jesus wants his people to pray. Pray without ceasing, right? Pray with conviction. Pray for hours on your knees or wherever you're at, grieving. Reach up and say, Lord, use me wherever you need. I don't care what the cost is. I'm all yours. Use me. Let me explain the cross. Let me open through the Holy Spirit through me, allow them to see the power of the cross. Because one time I was blind. But you see, to us it says, who are being saved in the power of God. It sees the cross. That we are saved by the power of God. It was what happened on that cross. And the blood that was shed on that cross. For all remissions of sin. Because we know the wages of sin are death. We know the wages of sin are death. But we know God, through the power of Jesus Christ, forgives all. And through repentance on a daily basis, because we will have that struggle left and right, but we will not be okay with our sin. It will grieve our spirit to the end. I know, I've been there. The cross. What does it mean to you, the cross? To me, it means redemption. It means that blood that was shed to cleanse a filthy sinner as I am. It means when Jesus was removed from the cross, he was placed into that tomb. It means when he was in there, he was fully dead. And he rose from the grave. And because he was risen and restored, one day we will die a physical death, or if the rapture comes, we will shed this body, this physical body. You see, see the cross points to the death. You see, we all have to die a death to Jesus. We have to die to ourselves. The old man is crucified, and then a new man is risen. You see that a lot in Paul's teaching. And of course, we know Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote that we are new. We are no longer old. Now we should walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And when we're new, it means now we are new. It means that we once was lost, now we are found. It means that now we have to pick up our cross on a daily basis, right? Matthew 16, verse 24-25 says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples," see, once you become new, you become a disciple for Jesus, there is no, "Oh, I don't really want to be a disciple." That means your conversion, your regeneration, you are not born again if you do not want to be a disciple. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For whosoever wishes to save his life," we can't save nothing. There's a thought that is against God, that we can be little gods, that we have the power to save ourselves. I want to tell you, there ain't nowhere in the Bible that supports that. We have to surrender our life, our old life, to God. And when we do that, we lose this life, and he said, "But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Meaning, once we lay the old life and we pick up our new life in Christ, we are regenerated. We are new. You can see that in Titus 3, verse 5, and of course John 3, when he's speaking to Nicodemus about being born again. I encourage you guys to check those scriptures out. Similar, Mark 8:34 said, "And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, anyone wish to come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." And then Luke 9, verse 23 says it like this, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone wish to come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me daily," right? And then Luke 14:27 says this, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He's saying, if you do not want to carry the cross, if you do not want to die daily, you cannot be my disciple. That's the words of Jesus, right? Collectively, the whole Bible is inspiration by the Holy Spirit. The cross is important. It's a sign that now your old self has to be crucified. You only can do that through the Holy Spirit. And then your new self is rose. You are born again. And throughout your life, throughout your daily work period or school period, you have challenges that you will have to face as a disciple for Jesus in this world. See, the world don't want to hear about Jesus. This world does not want to hear about the crucifixion. This world wants to encourage the new morality. This world wants to say, if it feels right, just do it. Don't matter. This world don't want to hear about sin and how it's so filthy in our lives and how it can, even in a believer's life, it can break that fellowship with Jesus and create interference with your prayers and grieve the Holy Spirit to a point where you wish you were dead. The lack of conviction chastisement is a sign there's something spiritually wrong with you, and you need to get right. Repentance is a key and crucial part of a Christian's life. Prayer, repentance. You see, we are in a spiritual battle. I talked about abortion, one of the clearest ones you can really look at today, and that's been going on for a long time, probably even before I was born. It grieves my heart so much to see that, and I know there had to be preachers. I haven't done too much research, but I have tried to done some. I haven't seen many that have talked about abortion, how filthy it is. How is murder? We've been silent too long. We need to rise up and say no more. Abortion needs to go. You see, the devil, he just works little chunks at a time or chips at a time. You know, I've done some research into the 1950s, and man, I tell you, and I'm pretty sure the devil's probably been working way before then in America. But he has been chipping away slowly, slowly. Now what you have is, man, you got where America just is falling apart. But it didn't happen overnight. But the thing is, our God is powerful. Our God has it. If we will start standing up and start voicing the word of God, the word of truth, once again, in the pulpits, no compromising, not caring what the crowd will think, not caring if those who hear us will get up and walk out and never darken the doors again. Long as you're preaching the word of God in love, they're not walking out on you. They're walking out on God. And that tears my heart up. As men of God, we have to stand in that pulpit. And even as people that leave the building that we are discipling through the Holy Spirit and going out into that world, and they're going into a hostile environment, a hostile battlefield. And I hope they're prepared, and I hope we are preparing them to go out there and to wage war, to wage a good warfare. And when they can talk about real issues and how sinful they are, like abortion. And then you can continue that with homosexuality. Even being cohabitation, being married, I mean, not having sex before marriage, living together. It's all immoralities. You have the 1950s when they, and then love, the sex revolution and all this. That was a chipping away of the foundation of marriage. Because, God, listen, guys, God said marriage is between a man and a woman. God created marriage to be sacred and beautiful within the vows of marriage, not away from it. And the devil sees it, and he said, I want to destroy it. You don't have to be married to have sex. And that revolution of sex going on, and then it just slowly chips away. And then now you have where it's okay for a man and man to get married, make it illegal. And a woman and woman can get married, making that legal. And if they're possible, they're moving, trying to say that preachers like me, who preach against it, they will say that is illegal and we're going to place you in jail. Don't think that's not a reality. They're doing it in Canada, and of course in other countries like China. Never take your freedom of worship for granted. I'm afraid that America has, And now we're reaping the consequences of that. As I close tonight, I just want to tell you guys, what does the cross mean to you? Does it mean that you just don't understand it? You're confused. Does it mean that you are free? Does it mean that you're going to have a happy, happy, happy life? I want to tell you what the cross should mean to every Christian out there. When we think of the cross, it should break our hearts. The price that was paid on that cross. A man that should not have to suffer the way he suffered. Even though he was a man, he was fully God. Jesus Christ had to suffer. He felt it all. He felt it all. All the pain that I know I couldn't have took. And I'm pretty sure there ain't nobody on this earth or ever lived other than Jesus Christ that could have took that much pain. He took the sins of the world. He took the sins of the world. And His blood flowed for you and me. For our sins and what we did in the garden. The curse on this world. God never meant for us to suffer the way we suffer now. A lot of people want to say, why God, why God? God has nothing to do with it. It's why you, why me? Why did we do this? Let's look at ourselves. Let's look at the mirror. We are guilty. Our beautiful God didn't do nothing except send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die that horrible death so that we can come right where we're at today. And we may not understand, especially if you're lost, what that means. And I have a ton of salvation messages on this website. Encourage you to just click one and listen to it. And it goes in a lot more details about salvation. I encourage you to listen to the scriptures. Open the Bible and look at them. And pray. You may have not prayed ever. Prayer is not that complicated. Just right where you're at, just close your eyes and say, hey, Jesus, here I am. I don't know what all this means, but here I am. Send somebody, open my eyes. And when you do that with a sincere heart, when your heart is burning for the truth, He will answer, I promise you. If you are a Christian, truly are a Christian, you kind of understand what the cross means. You may be what I call a professing Christian. That's one that's heard this message about the cross. But you choose not to pick up your cross. You choose not to count the cost. You choose to not do anything with it. Not my words, but Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. If you're not His disciple, then you're not His. If you're not His, then Satan has you blind that you are Satan's and not God's. And therefore, when you go sleep and tonight's your last night, you will be in hell. And you will be burning forever and ever and ever. There's time to get real, guys. The cross means salvation, right? It means to those that believe and open their hearts to Jesus and realize what he did on that cross. And when he was taken from that cross, and when he was placed in the grave, and when he rose, and that he rose and he left the Holy Spirit with us, that is in everyone as believers, and we are born again, and we should have a fire burning in our loins to go out there and tell that world about Jesus regardless of cost. We count the cost, right? He tells us to count the cost. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, right? The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. There's a cost to it. If you choose not to accept the cost, then there's a cost for not accepting it. And I'm going to tell you, the cost of that cost is greater than anything that you will experience on this earth. Hell is going to be everlasting torment. There's a lot of people that understand what hell is. But then they don't want to realize that they have to surrender their life. They have to pick up their cross. They have to walk the way, or at least try to walk the way that Jesus walked. And you can look in the Gospels. It's not hard. Start with Matthew. Then go into Mark. Go into Luke. And you'll see how Jesus, our life should be modeling his life. You may say, well, that's too hard. I don't want to do that. God will respect your choice. Don't ever think you can choose not to do that and still go to heaven. That is a lie that today's modern church, liberal church, has fed millions and millions. If they don't open their eyes, will go to hell. I don't say that with pleasure, it burdens my heart. I know some will see me as extremist. I have people I love that will not talk to me anymore. And it's not because of hate. It's because I just preach the gospel. I preach the truth and love. I cry over them. And I tarry over them. And I pray, Lord, don't let, you know, they may not want to talk to me, but let them talk to somebody before it's too late. I love you guys. Hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the week. Keep me in your prayers. I'll keep you guys in my prayers. Check out other sermons on this. And I got several devotions up posted this week. Hit me on my link. Or hit me up on Facebook. As we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to preach the word of God. I didn't really have a sermon outline for this, but it just needed to be said tonight for whatever reason it may be, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, the scriptures that you gave me to quote, Lord, that those that are listening to this, that they just write them down. They memorize them. I pray those there don't know who you are, Lord, that they just through the Holy Spirit, God, indirect their lives to reflect your glory and to point them to the cross and what it means to be a child of God, to be a disciple for you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just over this nation, this world, this election coming up, Lord. I pray, Lord, this stream of liberal left wing, Lord. I pray, Lord, of course, according to your will, depending on how fed up you are with America now, who will get in office. Lord, I pray, Lord, our hearts turn back to you. That the pulpits speak the truth out of love, even though there's hard truths in the Word of God. I pray that our local churches within our community, Lord, the pews just fill up. They burst with people are coming because they need answers. And I pray that the man of God that's in the pulpits, they got that they are called by you. Because when they're called by you, you will provide the answers to any question that you're presented, that they are presented with. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good weekend.